Well, welcome again to a thoughtful hour here on Strong Tower Radio. I am Pastor Garrett Morgan with my friend David.
David Bolduc from Strong Tower Radio.
And we are going over, and we're truly trying to take this quote here in Desire of Ages about a thoughtful hour being spent in the contemplation of the final moments of the life of Christ. We're really trying to take that quotation and actually claim it and see what good comes of it.
And you know, as we go through this, folks, if you want a copy of the book Desire of Ages, call us here at Strong Tower Radio, 231-468-2087, 231-468-2087. Whenever you talk to somebody here, give them your name, your phone number, all that stuff, and we will get you a free copy of the book Desire of Ages because it's such a blessing. And as you read through it, it's going through the chronology of Christ's life from before his birth all the way past the resurrection and the ascension. And it brings out all these beautiful details of who Christ is and his nature. And it gives you a glimpse behind the scenes of what evil is all about. So it just calls up.
Thank you so much for that offer. And don't just listen to it. Claim it.
Amen.
Because you'll definitely get that book in the mail or however it is that we'll get that to you. But anyway, we have been continuing following through the footsteps of the Word of God and seeing what Christ was doing and what he was saying in his final few days in his earthly ministry on earth, and some of the pointed words that he said to the Pharisees.
Very pointed.
Yeah, to his disciples.
Oh, yeah.
And cleansing the temple from all of the wickedness that was happening there. And he's been busy.
He's been very busy, and he knows he's about, like he said in the beginning when he was 12 years old, I must be about my Father's business.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And he knows that his Father's business is about to lead into a time of great pain.
Yes.
And so he's not only encouraging his disciples, but he's hoping that his disciples get it. Mm-hmm. And we unfortunately see that they are having a hard time. In fact, they don't, but he continues pressing. But
the beautiful thing is, after all these things transpire, the Holy Spirit reminds
them.
And the Holy Spirit brings these to their memory, and they see it from the 2020 vision of, oh, this is how it all connected.
Yeah.
And so God does this in such a way that it's never to shame us or hurt us. But when we look back and see how he's led us in the past, you can say, oh, we can trust him now.
Amen. And he'll do the same for us.
Yes.
I praise God that he doesn't ever give up on us.
That's right.
Amen. Well, anyway, we're here in Matthew chapter 25 here today. And again, if you have a red letter edition of your Bible, I think every word in this chapter is in red.
It looks like it, yeah.
So this is Jesus speaking, and he gives a parable, and it foreshadows an event that's going to happen in just a few days to the disciples. He gives a parable of a wedding that's about to take place,
okay,
and
yeah.
The bridegroom is on his way,
mm-hmm.
but he's taking his time. He tarries, so to speak.
Yes, he tarries.
And so these bridesmaids, these 10 virgins are there, and they're ready to meet him, but their lamps go out, they fall asleep,
mm-hmm.
and then the bridegroom comes. Some had brought extra oil, so they light their candles.
That's right.
They're ready to go. The other ones don't have any extra oil, so they go out to buy some. They come back, and the door is closed, and they're not allowed in.
And you know, the interesting thing about the fact that they had extra, and you know, as a good Christian, why didn't they just share? Because they knew that the time it was going to take to get from where they were to mm-hmm. where they were going to go, there was not enough to share with the others. They had just enough to get there.
Right.
And so how can they share? And so the principle in this is we need to be stored up
mm-hmm.
because we don't know what's coming. But as we trust the Lord, he's going to provide. But if we don't store up,
mm-hmm.
then we have nothing to draw from.
Amen. And you know, of course, when we take a look at a parable, we know there's symbolism in all of this stuff. And,
mm-hmm.
and oil can represent the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
Represents faithfulness
yes.
as well. And so the Holy Spirit, a relationship with God, is not something that you can necessarily share with someone.
That's right. Yes.
You can share with them your experience mm-hmm. and encourage them.
All right.
That's why we do this.
Yes.
But it's up to you to get yours.
It's a personal experience.
Absolutely.
My personal experience may be a blessing to you,
yeah.
but it's not your experience. It's my personal experience.
Absolutely. And so we see this happening here. But one thing that we notice in this parable of these 10 virgins that are awaiting this wedding to take place as the bridegroom is tarrying mm-hmm. is all 10 of them, whether they're wise or they're foolish, they have extra oil or they don't, all of them fall asleep.
They all fall asleep.
Everyone.
Yeah.
Which is interesting. And of course, I can't wait to get here in our show, but when we get to the time of Gethsemane,
okay,
we find Christ and he pleads with his disciples, wait with me and pray for me.
Yes.
Because he needed it.
Mm-hmm.
And he comes back, not once, not just twice, yes, but three times, yes, and he finds the disciples
asleep,
sleeping.
Yes.
And so you wonder, as Christ is sharing this parable, if he knows what's going to happen. Of course, we have prophetic.
Yes.
Yeah. So you see that here. But from this parable, there's so much that we can glean from it.
That's right.
And it reminds me of, you know, Laodicea in Revelation, okay, right? It talks about a people that believe that they are not just rich, but they're increased with goods.
Now, the word Laodicea, that's a reference to...
Yeah, great question. That's a reference to a city,
okay,
right, that also had a church in it.
Now, is there some significance to the name Laodicea? Was there something significance to that church?
Yeah, great question. So in Revelation, you find seven a lot, right?
Okay.
Seven.
Yes. Yeah.
And in Revelation, really, starting in chapter 2, you find seven churches listed.
Right, okay.
And the last church is Laodicea.
The last church.
Which is not just a church, but a city, right? Mm-hmm. With many people in it. And really, as Jesus is speaking to Laodicea in Revelation 3:14 to the end of the chapter,
okay,
of Revelation chapter 3, you see a people that believe that they are very wealthy. And again, significance to Laodicea, they were.
That kind of goes back to what we were talking about last time in Matthew 23, where they were wealthy on the outside.
They look good, yeah, but inwardly they were dead.
Mm-hmm.
And so Jesus here is not only counseling them in Matthew 23 and 24, but in Revelation chapter 3, he's telling them, yeah, you might look good on the outside, but guys, you're dead.
Mm-hmm.
And he uses some interesting language here at the end here of Revelation chapter 3. He says they're not cold, they're not hot, but they're lukewarm, and so he spews them out of his mouth.
Okay.
You had something you wanted to say on this.
You know, whenever we were talking about this before we started recording, before we went on air here, the significance to me is in verse 16, because it says, so then, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will vomit you out of my mouth. Mm-hmm. Now, sometimes when people hear that, they think, oh, we make God sick. You know, whenever you hear somebody, and it's really unfortunate, but whenever you hear a parent, especially talking to a child, say, you make me sick.
That breaks your heart.
It does, because how do you communicate to a child love when you're saying, you're so disgusting, you make me sick?
Mm-hmm.
And it just reminds me of an experience we had one time when we went for a ride with somebody in a boat, and we got in the boat, everybody's excited to go for a boat ride, put the key in the ignition, nothing.
Dead.
And so we're thinking, what happened? So, obviously, maybe it's just the key. So you take the key out, put the key back in, crank it, nothing happens. Dead battery.
Mm.
And so what do? What's wrong with the boat? Battery's dead. Everything is perfect, except for the battery has lost the energy to turn the starter, which starts the engine.
Mm-hmm.
In the story of Laodicea, it's not the fact that we make God sick. It's because the state of our hearts are not charged with God's love.
Mm.
And by not being charged with God's love, that state makes God sick.
Mm-hmm.
Because if we're not charged with God's love, where are we going to end up?
That's right.
We're going to end up with the enemy.
Mm-hmm.
So God says, that makes me sick. He doesn't hate us. He hates the states of our heart.
Mm-hmm.
And so he wants to charge us up so we will be hot for him. We'll be ready. We'll be usable. In God's word, perfection means working as designed. So if we're not working as designed, we're not in God's perfection.
Mm-hmm.
So what he's trying to get through to us is that whenever you are hearing and doing what I'm asking you to do, you're perfectly in line with me.
Mm.
And so the state of Laodicea, whenever you read to the end of chapter 3, verse 21 and 22, he says, he who overcomes, I will grant to sit with me on my throne. Isn't this the same people you're just saying you make me sick?
That's right.
Because that state of heart is where God say, whenever you overcome, then you will be in line with me. And that's the focus he's trying to get to. Not that you're disgusting and you make me sick. Jesus, when he was talking to the religious leaders in Matthew 23, he wasn't talking about them individually. He was talking about the states of their heart.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And he's trying to jumpstart, if you will, what's going on in their heart.
And he is the ultimate power source. He has the ability. But will we let him?
That's the power of choice.
Yeah.
And so you see here in Revelation 3, and with the 10 virgins as well there in Matthew 25, you see that there is some deception going on.
Okay.
And here in Revelation 3 especially, they think that they have everything together, but they don't.
Mm-hmm.
The frightening part about deception is if you're truly deceived,
mm-hmm.
you won't know.
That's right.
Now, if you know that you're deceived, you're not deceived. You're just willingly walking contrary to God.
And that's not a place to be.
And that is grieving the Holy Spirit. Yeah. That's dangerous. Yeah.
That's whenever you say, I am not even going to try.
That's, yeah, that's a dangerous spot.
Yes.
But if you're truly deceived, you won't know. And that's frightening.
Mm-hmm.
But that's why we have the Holy Spirit. That's why we have Christ here saying, look, I know that you think you have it together, but you don't.
So whenever those five virgins, going back to Matthew 25, they chose not to bring oil.
Mm.
The ones that had the oil, they chose to bring the oil. They all fell asleep. So they were all not where God had called them to be in the sense they were asleep.
Yeah.
But when he woke them up, those that had made that choice to follow him, to be there ready with the oil, they're connected to him. And those that chose not to, they're disconnected.
Exactly. And we talk about the disciples falling asleep in Gethsemane, but in reality, the disciples are asleep right here. I mean, the disciples, as Jesus is trying to tell them about what's coming in the future, spiritually, they're sleeping then.
Yeah.
And in Gethsemane, we see that physically as well.
Yeah.
But he's trying to wake them up, again, because he cares.
But the problem is not that they're asleep. It's the choices they've made to that point where they did fall asleep.
Yeah. Absolutely. What caused them to fall into slumber.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And the enemy is really good at rocking us to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
Everything's good. Everything's okay. Nothing out of the ordinary. Just go on as it is. You're fine.
Yeah.
And, but Christ wants us to not only have the assurance of salvation, which I think is beautiful, but he also lets us know how we continue, like you said, perfectly working as designed.
Yeah.
I like how you put that.
Yeah.
So this is what Christ is trying to not just tell his disciples, but I believe to all of us as well, because we're living in another time when judgment is coming.
It's coming.
Yeah. And I think all of us have been asleep at one point or another.
Oh, yeah.
I know that I have, and I'm in danger of doing it yet again. But praise God that I love how the Acts puts it. He continues to prick our hearts when we need it. And I know that I need it a lot more.
And you know, you wake up whenever you study, and when I say study, whenever you look at a verse and you look for that significant word in there. And if your Bible has the marginal references where you look at the others, it's like the old style of searching, you know, when we now we click on a link, going back to the references in there, or if you have a concordance, looking up the words, Strong's, all that stuff. But whenever you're looking at the words and seeing what is coming out of this, and maybe if it's in the Gospel Harmony like you have in the back of your Bible, or just go on the internet and look up Gospel, you see the storyline and you start comparing notes. And what are the Bereans known for? Comparing scripture with scripture.
People of the Word.
That's really what studying is all about, trying to get to a deeper insight of what the Word is saying.
Absolutely. And that's the point of being here today. And that's what we're trying to get across here in our show. We don't want this to be something that we do just for your entertainment.
Right.
We want this to be something that gets you home in your Bibles
we
to look at for yourself.
We want to see fruit.
Hey, we don't, we don't want to be like that fig tree.
Right.
Well, thanks so much again for joining us, friends, here on Strong Tower Radio. Stay tuning in for the next program coming up. But as for a thoughtful hour, God bless you. We'll see you next time.